70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome Gina to the radio Alexander broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Are you looking at Acts chapter 21? If you are, I want you to look at verse number 10 through verse 14. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hand and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. Amen. There's always something that comes up, and there's always something that challenges you. Amen. And when it challenges you, you've got to know how to respond to it. Amen. Because we automatically react because our flesh will do that. Amen. Amen. If you go to the doctor and they tap you on the knee, it kicks out. Not intentionally, but it does because they hit you. And there's some things that hits us that causes us to kick out. Amen. Not that we try to, but we just kick out and kick off some things. Come on and say amen. And so I just want you to know that if you're paying attention and if you're trying to hold back, amen, and hold your peace, things won't kick out of place. Amen. Yeah, but we need to know how to respond and not to react to those things that come our way. Amen. As I said before, a responder knows what to do in face of trouble. Amen. But a person who reacts don't know what to do, so they do anything that they think is right to do. Amen. Amen. I look at Brother Eric. He is a hazmat responder. He has been trained on how to respond if there's a hazardous situation. Amen. But you don't want to send anybody in the hazardous situation. You want people who knows what to do. Amen. Because they can eliminate the problem. Amen. And they can save a lot of souls in a lot of trouble. Amen. So what I'm saying is that if you know how to respond, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. You can even get your soul out of trouble. Amen? Amen. And so when we look at this text, when we look at the book of Acts, we understand and we need to know. I didn't give you the title or the thought of today. Amen. The thought is a mature response to bad news. Amen. We've all had bad news, but we know how to respond to it because God gives us what to say. Amen. A mature response to bad news. When we look at the book of Acts, we see and understand and we know for history's sake that this book is written by the author Luke, who also wrote the gospel according to St. Luke. This Luke is the companion of Paul. He was able to be present at some of the things that Paul went through. Amen? Luke was a doctor, a physician. And as I always say, being a physician, he never put any physician that's a good one never does anything more than he should do. He does not operate when he should not. He does not overprescribe medicine that will harm you. Come on and say amen. And so Luke knew how to prescribe and what to put in the gospels and put in the word of God that was necessary for the livelihood of those who read it. This book was written to Theophilus, just as the gospel according to Luke was. This was written to Theophilus, who was a dignitary, a person of honor, a person of authority, and his name Theophilus also meant lover of God. So this book is written to you today, those of you who love God. This book is written to you. It is known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Church, the Acts of the Apostles, because of the things that were done in this book. Amen? And this is one of the only books that do not have an ending. It does not have a see you later. It does not have a God bless you, Godspeed. It doesn't have a ending, sincerely yours, Paul. But this book is written like that so that you'll know that after the 28th chapter that there ought to be an Acts 29. What are you talking about? I'm talking about what are your acts? Amen. What do you do? What can we write about that you've done for the Lord? Come on and say amen. Don't get bored on me already. But we're living in Acts 29. Amen. Are you a writing? Are you a verse in the book? Are you a verse in Acts 29? What have you done lately? Amen. Praise his name. Well, when we look at this and we understand that we have to have a mature response to bad news. Many of us have, at one point or another, heard something that was unfavorable, something that got on our nerves, something that was bad to us, some sad, bad, dim, and grim news. Amen? And we needed to know how to respond to it. And I don't know about you, but I've been the giver of bad news before. Amen? And in many occasions, it seemed like people expect me to be able to just break the news to people. Amen? Sometimes it's hard, and I swallow real hard when it's time to break the bad news. But somehow God gives me what to say and a response after I've said whatever I said. How many of you can tell your father that two of his sons has died in 3 weeks? Amen? That's bad news. How can you do that? Well, by the strength of God, he can give you the strength to bear the news. But look at this. The prophet Agabus had come. Well, they were, first of all, they were in a place of Caesarea. They were on their way to Jerusalem, and they stopped to visit Philip. Anybody remember who Philip is? Philip was one of the seven. Philip was a deacon that was chosen in the church to serve. Amen? And not only did he serve, but Philip was so powerful in his service that he preached the word of God, and they now were no longer just saying, Philip, you're a deacon, but Philip, you're an evangelist. Because 20 years before this, he had preached in Samaria and folks got saved. He had preached to the Ethiopian eunuch and was carried off by the Spirit. Amen. And it made him an evangelist because he went from one place to the other proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Amen. So we might start on one level. Come on and say amen. But if you really get this thing down on the inside of you, you'll go to another level. Oh, yeah, you'll start off a deacon, a servant, but God will raise you up and say, now you can evangelize the world and you can win the souls of those who are lost. Come on and say amen. You got to realize that when you come to God, you will not remain the same. You may start out just somebody sitting on a pew setter. Amen, being a pew setter. You may start out being a pew setter, but then God will raise you up to be a trendsetter. Oh, come on and say amen. You may start off just blazing the trail, but then God will turn you into a trailblazer. Come on and say amen here. Somebody who makes a way. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, Philip had some daughters, the Bible says, and his daughters, they were all prophetesses. They were there to prophesy the word of God. Amen. He had four of them that spoke on behalf of God. Come on and say amen. And so while he was staying there, he was living and staying with Philip. He stayed there a lot of days. He stayed there. And for some reason, God did not give them a word. See, sometimes you can be around people who preach, around people who proclaim the word, but then they not give you a word. Come on and say amen. He was in the house with the evangelist and four prophets and didn't have a word. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help you. You can be in a place, and because they love you, they won't tell you what God is saying. Come on. They won't tell you that you need to stop this and do that. Come on and say amen. They have to tell you what God is saying. But since they would not, since there was not a word, there was a prophet that came. His name was Agabus. Agabus was a prophet. He was one that spoke. And now, you know, I've heard the denominational people say that there's no more prophets and no more this and no more that, but because of after Jesus came. But look, this is after Jesus. And then there was still four prophets, this girl, an evangelist, and here's another prophet, Agabus, that comes to Caesarea to talk to Paul. Agabus, you'll find out in chapter 11, he prophesied the famine that was going to hit Jerusalem, and it happened. Come on and say amen. So whatever he said, how do you know a prophet? That things come to pass when they say they come. Come on and say amen. So you can tell a prophet when they speak and things start to happen. Anybody encountered a prophet in your life? Amen. I've encountered them. Amen. And I know that when they spoke, those things came to pass in my life. So here he was, a credible prophet. Amen. Verse 10. And I'm going to get out of the way. Don't want to be too long. And it's as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet. Now look at this. Here, this guy, this prophet, comes up, and here's the prediction he's going to give. Now he's given a prediction. He takes the girdle and says that the person that owned this girdle, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. Now that's some bad news, that you're going to be bound when you're going to worship. My Lord, today. The prediction was unfavorable. The prediction was unexpected. Come on and say amen. It was not only unfavorable and unexpected, but it was unwanted. You know how it is? I don't want to hear that. It's unwanted. It's not in my favor, so I really don't want to hear. And guess what? I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect to hear what I heard, but now I heard it. Now what do I do? So we need to know how to respond to the unexpected. We need to know how to respond to the unfavorable situations. Oh, yeah, we need to know how to respond to unwanted news when somebody tell you so-and-so's been talking about you, and you know all that you've done for them, you need to know how to respond. Because if you don't know how to respond, you're going to react with the fisticuffs. Oh, yeah, you're going to react with a cussing. Come on and say amen. And so, therefore, we need to know how to respond in unfavorable news. We need to know how to respond when things come unexpectedly upon us. We know how to respond when we have unwanted news that comes our way. You know how this came to Paul all of a sudden, and Paul, I can imagine that he was looking at this situation not in a bad light because he was mature enough to respond to the bad news. Look at what happened. He says that that he told him of the bad news. Now, when we get bad news or when we get something to come to us, a word that comes to us, we need to know and receive it like Paul, that it's not a word of prohibition, but it's a word of preparation. Oh, yeah. Come on and say amen. Sometime you have a dream. That's news. That's something that comes to you. That's something. That's a word that comes to you, and you have a dream, and that dream disturbs you. But guess what? God is saying to you, this is not a dream, a prohibition. And sometimes we get up and we start praying, Lord, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But God is saying that this is going to happen. I was just trying to prepare you. And sometimes God is not trying to get you to prohibit some things, or neither is he trying to get you to stop, but he's trying to let you know to be prepared for what's about to happen in your your life. Come on and say amen. And sometimes we fail to prepare ourselves because we're too busy trying to prohibit the thing from happening. If I don't go this way, then it won't happen. If I don't say that, it won't happen. If this don't go this way, if I don't ever talk to him, it won't happen. But God is saying that you can't avoid what my will is because some things are just going to happen. Oh, yeah, he said that offenses, those things that happen to people, persecution is going to happen. Offenses are going to happen, but woe unto the one that bring it. We need to know that these things are going to happen. Tribulation is going to happen. There's much tribulation in the world, but he said that tribulation work patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. That's the preparation. Oh, come on and say amen here. Glory to God. We got to understand that tribulation gets us to the kingdom. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. And so even though I go through, I get to what I need to get. Come on. Even though I go through, I get to my peace. Even though I go through hell, I have to go through hell to get my joy. Oh, come on and say amen. If I go through the valley of the shadow of death, that's how I get life. Come on and say amen. Because I can no longer live, I have to die. Galatians 2:20 said, the life that I live now is not my life, but Christ in me, because I died. Oh, Lord, help me today. I want you to understand. There's a prediction sometimes that's unfavorable. Some news that come that is unwanted. There's some things that come unexpectedly, but I know how to respond now. Hallelujah. The prediction. Then let's look at part B of the 11th verse. We look at the persecution. He says, he bound his hands and his feet. He says, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Wow. The persecution. He prophesied and predicted the persecution. And look at where he said it was going to start. Paul, while you're on your way to church, I got some bad news for you. Because you know he was going to Jerusalem to worship. He was going to Jerusalem because he wanted to be in the fellowship. Oh, come on and say amen. But it had some religious demons, some people who didn't really have a relationship with God that judged Paul according to the flesh. Come on and say amen. We can't afford to judge people according to the flesh because they're on their way to a place where God can do something in their life. Come on and say amen. The persecution started at the church. The persecution started at Jerusalem. And sometimes you may not like it, but let me give you a hint here that sometimes as long as you live and you say you love God, it's somebody in the church that's going to persecute you. You don't want that to happen, but it will. Oh yeah, you don't want somebody ain't going to like what you got on. They're not going to like your hair. Your hair do or your hair don't. They're not going to like it. They're not going to like the shoes you wear. They don't like the fact that you lift your hands. Why she standing up in front of me? I can't see. Why don't you stand up? Why she lifting her hand? Why don't you lift yours? Why don't you close your eyes better yet and focus on the Lord and quit focusing on people? Hallelujah. The persecution, it started at Jerusalem. And the thing about this, and when it started, it didn't stop. Oh, come on and say amen. It started when he got to Jerusalem, and it followed him all the way to Rome. How do you think? He was on house arrest from that point. They arrested him, and the persecution began that day from religious folks who arrested him and said that he was not doing the will of God. How can you judge another man's servant, the scripture said, not knowing what God has called me to or called me to do? How can you judge and say, I can't and I shouldn't be? Come on and say, man. What they told Paul, you shouldn't be preaching this way. You shouldn't be doing that. But Paul knew his experience in God. He knew that he had met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Anybody met him? Anybody know that Jesus has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light? Not only that, but Paul said, I was sick and I couldn't see and God healed me. Come on and say amen. Paul had an experience that superseded anything that he had been taught or told. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what they say. I don't care what you heard and what they say. But you need to know your experience supersedes that. Your experience, come on and say amen. I got an experience in God. I know that he loves me. Even though people don't and people don't treat me right, I know that God loves me. Come on and say amen. I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen. Even though people look at me and they shun me, they don't like me, whatever, they don't like the way I preach or teach, I don't care. But I know that God loves me. I know that he anointed me. I know he put me here for a purpose. If I only have to reach 100 or 200 or 50 or 5, if that's all I can reach, I'm going to reach them. And I'm going to keep teaching till I reach them. Come on and say amen. I'm going to preach till I reach somebody. Hallelujah. The persecution. It bound him physically, but it didn't bind him spiritually or mentally. That's why Paul said, I think myself happy. When he was facing King Agrippa and those that were sitting around, he was sitting there and he was bound. Look, he was in trouble. He was bound up, but here he is trying to tell free people how he got set free. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you may have some issues that bind you up, and people in the world may think that they're free because they got more money, they got more time, they got free time. Come on and say amen. They got stuff going their way, and they may think that they're free, but you need to let them know, I may look bound, but I'm more free than you are. Oh, come on and say amen, because I stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free, and I'm not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Come on and say amen. He stood there and he told King Agrippa, I think myself happy. Even though I'm bound up, I've been took from one jail to the next jail. From one cell, look like I went through hell, been shipwrecked, been snake bit, been through so much. But here's my response. I think myself happy. Glory to God. In the highest. You got to learn how to think yourself happy, even though it's not going your way. I got some bad news, some unfavorable condition, some unexpected situation, some unwanted stuff that happened in my life, but I can think myself happy. I'm happy about it because I know the joy of the Lord will be my strength. I got a peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, I'm persecuted, but my mind is all right. Oh, that's what he said, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. The word sound means to be concrete. My mind can't be busted up by what you say. Oh, your opinion of me don't bust up my thought process. Oh, yeah, you don't interrupt what God is saying to my mind. Oh, come on and say amen. Paul said that I serve the Lord with my mind. So I got to keep my mind right. That's why the enemy comes to your mind. So you got to keep your mind right so that you'll be able to respond the way God wants you to respond. Come on and say amen here. We got to understand the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I got to get my mind new. That's why you need to get away from some of those people sometime. That's why you got to take away, steal away. Let me get in my prayer closet. Not just that, but I need to get around somebody who can edify my mind. Somebody who can build me up. Somebody who can give me some good words that make me believe that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I want to help somebody today. I wish that you would just hear me today. Oh, yeah, there's some persecution that comes. But we got to understand that even though you're bound up, sometimes you may feel bound. I just need to be free of this. But God will still use you while you're bound. God will still use you in your bondage. I got issues, and I know I do, but God will still use me while I got issues. Come on and say, man, God, oh, use me while I got issues till he take away my issue. Come on, because I'm bound in it. Come on and say, man. Oh, yes. Trying to get through here. Look at the prediction and the persecution that he was about to face. He said that everywhere, and there's another scripture that say, Paul said, everywhere I went, they prophesied bondage. They said, I'm going to be bound. Everywhere I went, everywhere he went, he heard the bad news. And the bad news was to confirm that, God, you were on track. God said you're going to go to Rome, you're going to preach. Come on and say amen. Even when you hear bad news, you got to keep your mind focused. Oh, come on and say amen. I got to keep my mind focused. I can't lose my mind right here. I can't give them a piece of my mind right here. I got to keep my mind renewed in the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, let's go on a little further. He says in verse 12, and when we heard these things, this is Luke talking. He was around. He was in the congregation. When he heard this, when we heard it, we and they that of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. The ones who came with him and the ones whose lives he touched while he was there, they said, don't go, Paul. Come on and say amen. We're looking at the people, how they cried, how they pleaded. Oh, yeah, the people pleaded with him. And in verse 12, it says, verse 13, it says, and Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? Paul begins to say, look, I know you're sad. I know you're crying. I know you're weeping because you heard the bad news. Sometimes bad news will make you cry. Sometimes bad news will weaken the people around you who should have been giving you strength. Come on and say amen. Paul, the people that came with Paul should have been strong enough to know that Paul been through some stuff. And he'll make it through this too. Come on and say amen. Paul had been through a shipwreck. Come on. Paul had been bound. Paul had been in the Philippian jail, because that was in chapter 16. He had been through all of that and out of it. And then they still wept and cried because they thought, because the prophet said it is trouble now. Come on and say amen. Sometimes we go through some stuff because of what's said. Because you're hearing a word today, you're going to go through a word, this thing, because you heard this word. You're going to have some news come your way, and you're going to see, God going to see how you respond. Come on. And then look, he says, the people, that he told them, he said that you're breaking my heart. The word break or breaking my heart, it means that you're crushing me. You're causing me to be weak a little bit here. You're weakening me because you're crying, and I can't handle you crying. I need you to stop. Come on and say amen. But look at this. After we look at the persecution or the prediction, the persecution and the people crying and the pleading of the people, Paul, don't do it. You know, sometimes people will want you to do what is not the will of God because they want to see you. They love you. They want to see you prosper. Even Peter did it when he said, Lord, he said, these things not going to happen to you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because I got to go through this so that you can get salvation. I got to go through this so that the world can be saved. And sometimes what you go through is for the other folks. What you go through is for somebody else. Come on and say amen. Because God is going to use you as a tool to win them to him. That's what happened to Paul. Paul, God used him to win folks all the way to Rome. He used him to win the whole island of Malta. He used him to win people in Caesarea and in Philippi. He used him to win them, and all that he went through, he used them to win the house of the jailer. Come on and say amen. Everything that he went through, God used the circumstance that he was in to bring out a great outcome. That's what we got to believe. We got to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you're about to face, that God is going to use that to give you a good outcome. We got to know that we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. Are you still with me, or have you went home? Oh, hallelujah. Since we looked at the prediction and the persecution and the people and the pleading of the people to Paul, Paul said, look, I'm not worried about this. Let's look at the peace of Paul. And I'm almost done now. But Paul says, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not only or to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Yeah. Now, if Paul didn't have peace, I don't know what it was. We got to understand here that Paul knew what his purpose was. When you know your purpose, you can have peace. Because you know the purpose, person that gives you the purpose is God. And you know that he's going to fulfill what he said he would. The scripture said God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And so since God can't lie, I don't care what I get stuck in, he'll bring me out. Because I know what he said to me. Oh, that's what Paul was saying. I know that he told me that I was going to preach at Rome. And since this is not Rome, this is Jerusalem, I can't die in bondage. I know I got, come on and say amen. Oh yeah, I know that he told me that I was going to preach all over. And since he told me that, I don't have trouble knowing that whatever I go through now, oh yeah, this is just the beginning. Because, and come on and say amen. I told you last week that your condition is not your conclusion. Just because I'm in it doesn't conclude my life. Doesn't say the end. Come on and say amen here. This is not it. The fat lady is not tuning up to sing, because I know that I got to keep on pressing, keep on going. Y'all don't hear me in here. Paul was content. That's why he said that whatever state I am in, I've learned how to be content. Whether I'm full, I'm content. Well, I'm hungry, I'm content. If I got plenty of money, I'm content. If I don't have none, I'm content. If they're lying on me, I'm content. Telling the truth about me, I'm content. So whatever state I find myself in, I learn how to be content. But not only when Paul got the peace of God, not only will peace make you you content, but peace will make you courageous. What are you talking about? I'm courageous. I'll stand here and I'll stand flat footed and wait and see what God is going to do. I got enough courage not to run out of here. I got enough courage not to turn tail and run, but put on the whole armor of God. Come on and say amen. I can put on my helmet of salvation, keeping my mind protected, my breastplate of righteousness, keeping my heart protected, having my loins girt about with truth so things won't come out that